The Glad Tidings, Chapter 6, The Glory of the Cross. In the last part of the 5th chapter, and in the 6th, we learn the practical character of the entire epistle. Hasty readers are likely to think that there is a division in it, and that the latter part treats of practical spiritual life, while the first part is devoted to theoretical doctrines. This is a great error. No part of the Bible is theory. It is all fact. There is no part of the Bible that is not spiritual and practical. Moreover, it is all doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. Christ's talk to the multitudes on the mount is called doctrine, because he opened his mouth and taught them. Some people express a sort of contempt for doctrine. They speak slightingly of it, as though it belonged to the realm of abstruse theology, and not to practical everyday life. Such ones unconsciously do dishonor to the preaching of Christ, which was nothing else but doctrine. That is to say, he always taught the people. All true doctrine is intensely practical. It is given to man for no other purpose than to be practiced. Sermonizing, not doctrine. People are led into this error by a wrong use of words. That which they call doctrine, and which they speak of as impractical, is not doctrine but sermonizing. That is impractical, and has no place in the gospel. No preacher of the gospel ever delivers a sermon. If he does, it is because he chooses for a time to do something else besides preach the gospel. Christ never delivered a sermon. Instead of that, he gave the people doctrine, that is to say, he taught them. He was a teacher sent from God, so the gospel is all doctrine. It is instruction in the life of Christ. The object of this epistle is clearly seen in this closing portion. It is not to furnish ground for controversy, but to silence it by leading the readers to submit themselves to the Spirit, whose fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Its purpose is to reclaim those who are sinning against God by trying to serve Him in their own weak way, and to lead them to serve indeed in newness of spirit. All the so-called argument of the preceding portion of the epistle is simply the demonstration of the fact that the works of the flesh, which are sin, can be escaped only by the circumcision of the cross of Christ. By serving God in spirit, and having no confidence in the flesh. Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone, and not of his neighbor, for each man shall bear his own burden. But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good toward all men, and especially toward them that are of the household of the faith. See with how large letters I have written unto you, with mine own hand, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For not even they who receive circumcision do themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But far be it from me to glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world hath been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear branded on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, Revised Version. A radical change. When men set out to make themselves righteous, pride, emulation, vainglory, boasting, criticism, fault-finding and backbiting, leading to open quarrels are the result. So it was with the Galatians, and so it will ever be. It cannot be otherwise. Each individual has his own conception of the law. For having determined to be justified by the law, he reduces it to the level of his own mind, so that he may be judge, and cannot resist examining his brethren, as well as himself, to see if they are up to his measure. If his critical eye detects one who is not walking according to his rule, he at once proceeds to deal with the offender, who, if humble submission, not to God, but to his judges, be not tendered, must be turned out of the church, lest the robes of our righteousness be defiled by contact with him. The self-righteous ones constitute themselves their brother's keeper, to the extent of keeping him out of their company, lest they should be disgraced. In marked contrast with this spirit, which is all too common in the church, is the exhortation with which this chapter opens. Instead of hunting for faults, that we may condemn them, we are to hunt for sinners, that we may save them.